The next time you're on Interstate 80, stop in and see the folks at the Iowa 80 Truck Stop at Exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. They're always open and ready to serve you. Enjoy a sit-down meal at the Iowa 80 Kitchen or grab a bite from one of their 9 quick-serve restaurants. You'll love their clean restrooms, huge gift store, beautiful convenience store, and, of course, the Super Truck Showroom stocked with plenty of chrome, lights, and more. While you're there, don't forget to visit the Iowa 80 Trucking Museum next door. It's free. The entire team at the Iowa 80 is very excited to celebrate 60 years with you. They look forward to being your home away from home for another 60 years. Sending you a giant thank you from Iowa 80, the world's largest truck stop on I-80, exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. Iowa 80.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Download our Red Eye Radio app today because you can listen when and where you want if you can't listen live overnight. One of our great radio stations. Hey, Eric, Bernie Sanders was doing the book tour, book interviews over the weekend.
Oh, okay, yeah. Good.
He was on Face the Nation,
yeah.
And he was asked something that we talked about last week about his book, which is bashing capitalism. Well, aren't you bashing capitalism by taking advantage of capitalism?
Yeah.
And I didn't even think about this one. And using Ticketmaster?
Yeah, right. Oh, Ticketmaster's okay. The devil.
Here we go.
But I have to ask you, you're going on tour to promote this book, It's Okay to Be Angry About Capitalism. And you're here talking about it. I understand we're not the bad guys you're describing in the book when it comes to media. But tickets for your tour apparently are selling for $95 on Ticketmaster, which is accused of anti-competitive behavior. You know that. Some of your Democrats are criticizing them. Aren't you benefiting yourself from this system that you're trying to dismantle?
First of all, those decisions are made totally by the publisher and the bookseller. I think there's one case where in one place here in Washington, politics and prose, an independent bookstore charging some tickets, most of them.
Wait a minute. I had some problem there on it. Hang on one second here.
You're here talking about it. I understand we're not the bad guys you're describing in the book when it comes to media, but tickets for your tour apparently are selling for $95 on Ticketmaster, which is accused of anti-competitive behavior. You know that. Some of your Democrats are criticizing them. Aren't you benefiting yourself from this system that you're trying to dismantle?
First of all, those decisions are made totally by the publisher and the bookseller. I think there's one case where in one place here in Washington, politics and prose, an independent bookstore charging some tickets. Most of them, I think, are $40, $50, and you get a book as well. So if you want to come, you're going to have to pay $40. I'll throw in the book for free. And we're doing a number of free events, but I don't make a nickel out of these things at all.
But you're okay doing business with Ticketmaster?
No, not particularly, but that's, again, I have nothing to do with that. That is, if you wrote a book, it'd probably be the same process.
Does he have any control over it?
Sure does.
Absolutely he does. He's an absolute liar. He has complete control.
Yep.
You don't have to use that publisher.
That's right.
You can use a publisher and you can set the terms. If you decide to go on a tour, you, in a contract, can set whatever rules and regulations you want with the publisher.
It is your book, yeah, right?
I can't control capitalism. Mm-hmm. I'm a victim of capitalism. Mm-hmm. I don't have any control. You're lying, Bernie. Stop lying. Then again, when you're a socialist, you have to lie. So he's used to doing it and doing it bluntly.
But he missed the opportunity. He should have said, listen, I have the answer. It's in the book. I explain fully why, and it's a legitimate answer in the book. Bogus. It's a bunch of garbage. You know, because he wanted to do away with the millionaires and billionaires. And now that he's a millionaire, oh, let's not do away with the millionaires, just the billionaires.
Three houses aren't enough, we know.
That's right, yeah.
Look, we wouldn't bring this up, except he is the one that rails against capitalism.
For years, he hated millionaires. Mm-hmm. And then he got to be a millionaire, and he's like, oh, well this isn't so bad. Yeah. And by the way, why does everybody hate me?
But that's a perfect example where he believes, because Republicans aren't going to buy the book. Democrats who believe in socialism are going to buy the book.
Mm-hmm.
And he believes Bernie Sanders, if you're a Democrat who likes Bernie Sanders, or you're a socialist who likes Bernie Sanders, he believes you're an idiot.
Yeah.
He believes he can lie to you that he had no choice, and he is in essence, a victim of, see, this is a problem with capitalism. I had no choice in it. They just dominated. I'm not involved with this at all. I can't control the big capitalism machine.
He can't control what he does with his money from the books.
Right.
I can't control. I mean, it just, all of a sudden it's out of my bank account and it goes right over to purchase a new car or a home. I mean, it just kind of happens.
I don't know how this new home got built.
I don't know.
Damn capitalism.
It's just horrible.
But he thinks if you're somebody who likes Bernie Sanders, hey, Joe Rogan, if you're...
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the attitude that he has in the answer, too. That's just a game that's played. I don't have any control. Like you're too stupid to know this.
Yep.
It's totally gaslighting here.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, you're a moron if you don't know how the game is played. I don't have any control over Ticketmaster, so you don't have any control over who your publisher is. You're Bernie Sanders. You've been around for a while. I'm guessing you could get a number of publishers on board, mm-hmm. and that you could set the terms. When the book comes out, the tour is not going to be at all done through Ticketmaster.
I'm sure if you came out as Bernie Sanders, because your goal is, everybody should be equal completely.
Mm-hmm.
You could simply say, I only wish to make, since I have a job already in three houses, I only want to make $10,000 off this book.
Yeah, right.
Now, I want to be able to
get the rest.
I want to give the cheapest price to everybody, and I want to do different functions where people can get in for free,
mm-hmm.
and if they wish, they can buy my book, and I want it to be the lowest-selling book ever in the history of political books, and that's why I'm only taking $10,000 for it. I don't want a $1 million advance or whatever advance he got for it. Did he get an advance on his book?
I don't know, but that would be typical if he did, yeah. the problem is,
I'm actually looking it up.
The problem is that we have too many choices in terms of books written by Bernie Sanders. We should only have one. Just as with deodorant, when Bernie was walking down the aisle, too many choices for deodorant. We only need one.
The book that he put out in 2016, he got $795,000 advance for that book.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right.
I don't know for this one. I put in advance for his book on Google. So, yeah, I just on his new book. It would be his new book,
right?
Just checking on folks very quickly. Just see if I can find it. I just thought about it. Yeah, I can't. Don't see it here. Yeah, it doesn't come up what advance it was for this book. Maybe he wanted to keep that quiet. But if he had said, all I want is $10,000 total for the book, maximum, because I care about promoting socialism and getting rid of capitalism, because I'm about advancing society. This is not about keeping my three homes and my vehicles and everything else, and I don't want a fourth home. Mm. So I wish to deal with the publisher, understanding that my goal is not to make any money on this book. because I care about the people. I care about the worker. It's the worker I care about.
Yeah. Exactly. What has he written? 8 or 10 books?
Yeah.
All right. That's too many. If we have too many choices of deodorant,
we have too many choices then we have of Bernie many Sanders books.
Choices of Bernie Sanders books. That's the way I'll play that.
Hey, he should do like George Harrison, just have the lyric that makes it all.
Mm.
19 for you, 1 for me.
That's right.
Which, by the way, when you look it up at that time, that was actually the tax rate.
Yeah, right.
It's like 95%.
Right.
Over a certain amount. Mm-hmm. So when they said that, when he wrote that in the lyrics of Taxman,
right,
that was actually true. It's like they wanted to get out. Wow. So, yeah, I don't know. I can't find anywhere what his advance for this book is. I'll look for it, see if it comes up, though, somewhere. But in Google, Google probably blocked it to protect him.
Yeah, right.
It blocked that search. Somebody probably did. Oh, I just love it, though. Because that's the whole thing. The book is about is anti-capitalism. So he used Ticketmaster. Didn't he see that coming? Is he so out of touch where he didn't see that in, you know, everybody knows, because is Bernie now going to rail with the president against not just resort fees, but Ticketmaster fees?
Right.
We want to know about Hunter Biden fees.
Oh, I think we know about those. I think we do.
I'm going to play that. I mean, he thinks the people that he, if, you know, only Democrat socialists are going to buy the book.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and most media outlets will get a copy of it so they can, you know, read it and then invite him on so we can promote it.
Right.
Wonder if he'll go on Fox. Wonder if he'll do any conservative media on it. Do you think so?
I'm trying to think of where he would go on Fox. It would probably be with Bill Hemmer during the day. I doubt he's going to go on the opinionated shows, although those are the higher rated shows. But where would you go? Which of those shows would you go on in the evening?
Well, MSNBC in the early morning, MSNBC in the morning, MSNBC midday, MSNBC late midday, MSNBC afternoon drive, MSNBC at night.
Mm-hmm.
And then you basically covered everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then PBS, and then CBS, NBC, and ABC.
Mm-hmm. And
on their morning shows, you know, so there's no criticism, and definitely on the new revamped CNN show with Don Lemon.
That's right.
Where Don Lemon would have to ask the question, "Aren't you out of your prime to be writing this book in order to even things up?"
Right. And the first question would be, why do you think men reach their prime after at peak at their prime at the age of 25? Did you have someone helping you write this book because you're beyond your prime, Mr. Sanders? What's wrong with men? We have a list of problems. We're going to prioritize those right now.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's, you know, I guess you really don't have a place on Fox. Maybe Bill Hemmer, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I just don't think.
Yeah, I don't think.
You look at it and you say the audience isn't going to be there for you. It doesn't matter where you go.
No, I just wonder how much.
If Shep Smith were still there.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I guess he's gone from CNBC, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he lost that show.
Yeah.
He disappeared completely.
So far, he's hasn't reappeared.
Gary, how do you know he lost his show? We didn't even know he had a show.
Yeah.
I had read it somewhere that he had last month.
Mm.
that he was out.
Well, the Daily Beast version of the Don Lemon thing happened to go through mandatory training. Said that they had a source that said there's a lot of talk about the limited time that Don Lemon may have at CNN because he's such a distraction.
Yeah.
Which you could see. Or is he the only thing at CNN drawing any attention?
Maybe drawing attention isn't drawing ratings.
Yeah. Well, the morning ratings are horrible.
Yeah.
But so are the afternoon ratings, and so are the – you saw the evening ratings. You saw that Bill Maher didn't fare well because Gutfeld over at Fox is killing it. And Bill Maher –
oh, no, I didn't see. Yeah, what were the numbers? No?
It was very low, and the target demo was also very low compared to what Greg Gutfeld gets over at Fox News. But Greg Gutfeld – for that time slot is killing it.
Does that mean that no liberals are willing to watch?
I don't know. Or is it that they don't have word yet? I haven't seen proper, what I would consider proper promotion of that. A Bill Maher's new, it's only weekly, right? It's only once a week.
Well, it already exists.
Yeah, it's the replay of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's the after. They do an hour after that they put on YouTube.
I know.
Yeah.
The replay of that. Right.
Right, it's a replay of that. Yeah. It's not a replay of his HBO show.
No, no, no.
Right.
No, no, no. Yeah. It's the YouTube thing.
Yes.
Being replayed.
Right.
And here's the other thing too. Would you wait up until what are they putting it on Friday night?
Yeah.
Yeah, would you wait up till on Friday night to watch that?
No.
Or would you just go to YouTube? You know, a replay doesn't make sense.
Wow. 352,000 viewers.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he got.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Yeah. No. No.
Gutfeld averaging about 2, which is...
Yeah. And my guess...
Great for Fox at that time.
Oh, yeah. For that time slot, he's killing it. And again, you're not getting an exclusive from Bill Maher. You're getting a replay of something you can watch on YouTube, you know, at your will.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Online ordering through and participation in USDA Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program has been going on for a while now. As Deputy Undersecretary for Food, Nutrition, and Consumer Services Stacey Dean recently told lawmakers.
In March of 2020, we had about 30,000 SNAP participants redeeming benefits online through a pilot we were operating at the time. Now there are 4 million households who are able to shop online.
Now a proposed rule intends to change details within the Women, Infants, and Children WIC program to also allow for online ordering. Among the modifications, removing requirements for cashiers to be present to complete WIC transactions, and research into improved transaction technologies like mobile ordering. Public comment on the rule will be conducted from February 23rd to May 24th, with comments made online via the Federal Register at www.regulations.gov. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. Bargain hunting is back. I mean, bargain hunting's always been around. We always love a great deal. But man, everywhere you look, people are bargain hunting. You know, there's so many great ways to find great deals. Hey, I have a great find in your bargain hunting journey. Book online at motel6.com. Use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby, and truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price that's a real bargain when you use the code CPREDEye. That's the letters CPREDEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That is a bargain. That's just something I've noticed. brought to you by Motel 6.
The next time you're on Interstate 80, stop in and see the folks at the Iowa 80 Truck Stop at exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. They're always open and ready to serve you. Enjoy a sit-down meal at the Iowa 80 Kitchen or grab a bite from one of their 9 quick-serve restaurants. You'll love their clean restrooms, huge gift store, beautiful convenience store, and of course, the Super Truck Showroom, stocked with plenty of chrome, lights, and more. While you're there, don't forget to visit the Iowa 80 Trucking Museum next door. It's free. The entire team at the Iowa 80 is very excited to celebrate 60 years with you. They look forward to being your home away from home for another 60 years. Sending you a giant thank you from Iowa 80, the world's largest truck stop on I-80, exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. Iowa 80.
Yesterday on the report that Kevin McCarthy granted Tucker Carlson access to 41,000 hours of January 6 video that his producers apparently were in looking over the last week and going to present, you know, parts of it on his show. And it was vicious from both sides. I mean, even from Republican and Trump sides, because since that story came out last week where it said Trump called Tucker Carlson called Trump a demonic force on January 6th. And then the story that none of them believed in their emails, none of them believed the story from Sidney Powell or Giuliani or anything about the Dominion and Smartmatic stories. And they were saying one thing on the air, the allegation is, and different things behind the scenes of it. You had it from both sides saying you can't trust Tucker Carlson, even from Trump supporters. I'm a Trump supporter, and if Fox did this and Tucker Carlson did this, I can't trust that he'll actually release what truly went on January 6th.
Right.
I think it hurt them. I don't know if it hurt them in the ratings, but it was amazing how both sides were coming down on Fox News yesterday.
Yeah.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're
giving you 70% each night? Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So, Kevin McCarthy granting Tucker Carlson access to 41,000 hours of January 6th video, which... And apparently they're going to release it. They can't release all 41,000 hours. But that's what I saw yesterday, especially on social media, with both sides.
Yeah.
You know, what you saw from Republicans and a variety of Republicans and Trump supporters, not all Trump supporters. For example, when I saw the National Review blog, and a lot of National Review are they're very conservative, but very independent, and right. They looked at them and says, "This is horrible. You need to release everything. You need to release everything. You cannot trust." And they were blunt. You can't trust Tucker Carlson on this because we don't believe he was honest.
Well, why wouldn't you release it to the people? If you're going to release it to Tucker Carlson, you have to assume. I mean, obviously, he doesn't have. There's no time to put 41,000 hours. You know,
right
out, but
you have to go through an editing process, which is what everybody knew.
You've got to be selective,
and they didn't trust. So these were people more DeSantis than Trump. They don't think Trump can win, and so do they have a bias? Yeah, but even the Trump supporters, because of what came out about what Tucker Carlson had in an email, where Trump is a demonic force. But he's not going to destroy us on January 6th.
Right.
That comment that he wrote to a producer.
Mm-hmm.
And that immediately had the Trump supporters saying, no way. We can't trust Tucker Carlson to disseminate this properly after he said this about Trump on January 6th.
Right.
And then when you saw, and we talked about this the other day, that, you know, I've been in this business now going on, in the media business 41 years, I would never put anything on work email. Well, I say what I believe on the air. I don't say what I believe on the air and say something different in private. You and I never have.
No.
We've been questioned that, and we said from the very beginning, that only gets you into trouble by doing that. I would rather put up, as we did,
mm-hmm.
when we came out early on
mm-hmm.
and said Sidney Powell and Giuliani, they're lying about
yep.
Dominion and Smartmatic. We
yep.
didn't say that there weren't other election irregularities that had to be looked into, and we followed every court case. But we knew with Smart when Sidney Powell made that thing, the allegation that she had evidence that the governor and secretary of state of Georgia took a bribe from Dominion.
And then the Trump team
yeah.
separated themselves from her in a very clear and concise way. She wrote a letter. Remember, she wrote a letter, and the Trump legal team wrote a letter as well. That on the same weekend, they both did the same thing. That was a very
yep.
clear-cut, deliberate separating of her from the Trump team for a reason.
And we knew it with the, you know, it was like, well, there, she doesn't have evidence. So there's no, because if you have evidence like that, you're talking bribery. You better present that right there at that point
right.
in a presidential election.
Right.
Sidney Powell was lying. And it shocked us.
Yeah.
Because
no, I mean, given her history.
With Michael Flynn.
Because
mm-hmm. that was the thing. She wouldn't tell that kind of a stupid lie that she couldn't prove. Why would she? She's Sidney Powell. She doesn't need to do that.
Right.
No idea. No idea why they did. And the Smartmatic one was the easiest one because Smartmatic came on day one and said, we were involved in one county in California. Besides that, we weren't involved anything in the presidential election at all. One county in California. Did that make a difference? No. The fact that they went after Smart, the lies were so bad. That's what it was.
That's the problem.
You know, I can sit there and it's not bragging. I can say, Eric and I were right on everything that we said.
Yeah.
And it's not that we were bold. It was like some of the lies were so bad that it was easy to read.
Well, here's the thing. When they announced, okay, tomorrow we've got a big announcement on the election and the whole thing, I was expecting they were going to be standing in front of a courthouse saying, we just filed a case.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we intend to prove. But it wasn't that. And it was like, okay, then where are the filings? Where's the action? And I don't know. I still today don't know what their motive was. I don't. And it makes me wonder if, you know, one of them said, I can get evidence that this happened or that happened, or I don't, and then convinced all the others. I don't know. I have no idea.
All I know is that the and I don't have everything, but it does seem like, you know, that the text messages are pretty damning about what happened early on. That you know, whether it was, you know, Laura Ingraham or Sean
mm-hmm.
or Tucker
mm-hmm.
and the things that, you know, they were writing doubting it, where, you know, Laura Ingraham basically said, you know, she's a nutcase
mm-hmm.
for Sidney Powell.
Mm-hmm.
And this was early on, that they weren't saying those exact same things on the air. And they were writing them in an email, work email, and now they're not allowed to say anything.
Right.
They've been told they can't say anything.
Oh, no. For good reason, because they allowed way too much to go
yep.
on the air and didn't and weren't very clear. If you suspected that, then why didn't you call them out? Well, it was about, and we learned from the text messages that it was about, well, the Trump followers could crush us if we, and I'm paraphrasing, but if we came out and challenged this, that basically he could make our audience go away.
Yeah.
You're either doing real work or you're not doing real work. And you don't have to go out and make direct charges against the person that's saying it. All you have to do is make it very clear that if you're going to bring charges like that, then the burden on you is on you to bring the truth, to bring the evidence to back up that truth. If you're saying something, if you make the charges, then you have the burden of proof.
Now, I do remember, I don't know about Laura Ingraham or Sean, but you and I do remember when Tucker Carlson, he didn't say it as strongly as we did, but he had definite doubts after Sidney Powell had the bribery allegation.
Right.
And then the Giuliani wrote the letter. Think about it. It was Giuliani wrote the letter, right?
And she wrote one.
She wrote one?
She wrote one, and he wrote one.
Right. And so, you know, they separated at that point, mm-hmm. and that's when Tucker Carlson. Yep. Now, he wasn't as strong, I believe, as he was in other statements on email.
Right.
But the fact is, if I was in a situation now with these allegations, with these text messages that exist, and I couldn't say anything, and I had to still go on the air every day,
mm-hmm.
I would take myself off until it was settled and I could say what I want.
I would not continue on the air doing it. There's only one reason that each of them on both sides of that wrote a letter. Because one of the letters was, and I think it was hers, that wrote, I have not billed any hours to the Trump campaign and all that. And then they came out and then Giuliani released his letter. And the reason they did that is because we need to make it clear from the Trump perspective that we don't have any liability here. She said that on her own, and she doesn't belong to us.
Right.
And we take no claim of any of that, because you make a claim like that of government officials, a direct claim that they broke the law, specific laws, then you better have the truth.
Right. No, it was still
or the evidence.
It was still weak because of the time she had stood up on stage as part of the legal team.
Yes,
whether she was actually paid or not,
right?
Or whether it was you just don't get to stand.
Well,
up.
You don't include her. Yeah,
right.
She didn't walk up to the podium and go, "Hey, Rudy, mind if I say a few words?"
So, I mean that was. I mean, I didn't buy it. Neither did you.
No.
I can't believe it's just the way you and I've always been. I could never say anything on a public email, which is a work email.
Mm-hmm.
I would never say it on. Well, I don't have to do that because I say what I believe all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't have to ever say, okay, let me soft sell it here. I'm doing what I do on the radio. Why would I say something different in an email, a work email? What are you doing? Here's what we said. Here's what we believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that in fact, that only happened to us really once.
Mm-hmm.
And that was on, and the sad news that he's in hospice now, as we mentioned it last week, was the Jimmy Carter thing.
We were invited to an event, and we said, look, based on our positions and things we've talked about, and how he governed during his presidency and his policies, we don't think it would be a good idea for anyone, including him and his cause, to have us there, because our job would be, we believe, to ask questions about his presidency. And so it didn't serve either side. And we declined that invitation, and we did so by email. But that was very truthful and honest, and I think probably saved some grief for everybody involved.
But besides that, because they wanted, what have you guys said about ethanol? And we said what we said about ethanol.
Right.
And so that's the one thing that surprises me, that number one, if I was going to say something differently, I'd never do it in an email, a work email.
Right.
But I never would get myself in that position. Neither would you. Because we say exactly what we say in private as we say in public. There is no difference. Right. And we've been questioned. People come up to us. Come on, what do you guys really believe? What we say.
Well, because I can't. You can't debate your position if you don't really believe it.
Yeah. And, so that was.
And that's what it comes down to.
I noticed the viciousness from Trump's people that claim they were Trump supporters.
Mm-hmm.
But I voted, you know, watch you guys loyally voted for Trump, disagree with you in the past, but that I don't trust anything, Tucker, that you do now.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I have nothing against Tucker Carlson. He does his thing. And
yeah,
nothing against Sean, nothing against Laura. But it's simply, It's simply what they said in what they said in text versus what they said on the air, mm-hmm. and it was different. Mm-hmm. And I was just amazed that they would actually. I can't believe at that level you do that, because I just, from the lowest level of when I first got into the smallest market talk radio, whatever I said on the air is what I meant.
Well, it's, I think, why it was the motivation, I believe, of Dominion coming out and releasing those text messages, because they wanted to show, they wanted to demonstrate that they believe, and this is just my theory, that they were capitalizing on those moments, believing that having those guests on was going to boost their ratings or keep their ratings, or that at the very least, if they went against and shut these guests down, that their ratings would be hurt by that, which means their earnings would be hurt by that.
Right.
So they were motivated by the money.
Right.
And that would be the claim, and I believe that could be the basis of the claim of Dominion. I don't know any other reason Dominion would put that out.
And I don't know whether Dominion will still win the First Amendment lawsuit on it, because I don't know precisely what statements they are using.
That would
dictate malice.
Right.
I understand where they're going. What they're saying is the Fox News host wanted to keep their ratings and their money, and so they destroyed us by perpetuating something that they knew was false.
Right.
And they did it for money. Now, is money malice? Well, that'd be an...
Yeah.
Is money a malice reason, First Amendment-wise? I don't know.
Right. But, you know, I mean, and on the, you know, the whole releasing all this stuff on the January 6th stuff, why not just put it somewhere where everybody has access to it, all of it?
Yeah.
Why let basically one person or, you know, show determine, because they're going to have to choose.
Right.
One way or the other, they're going to have to choose. They can't release all of it.
Yeah, and it has to be out.
Yeah.
It has to be out.
Unless they decide to put it online somewhere. But that hasn't been, I haven't heard that yet.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Shop at Iowa80.com for the best selection of everything for your truck. Bumpers, fenders, toolboxes, lights, interior, and more. Iowa80.com, your truck.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE. The funniest headline that I saw over the weekend was National Review.
Okay.
Noah Rothman wrote it. Did anybody notice Biden's UFL handling was a complete farce? And then the first line, the president conveyed his firm determination to deter American balloon enthusiasts from challenging the geostratic status quo.
I love that.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen. When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.